This podcast does not promote or condone this use of illegal substances. Any information shared in this podcast should not be taken as medical or legal advice. Listeners are solely responsible for their actions and decisions. We strongly emphasize the importance of a safe and supportive environment for a psychedelic experience. RTS does not promote or sell psychoglobin or related products. We strongly emphasize the importance of... importance of a safe and supportive environment for any psychedelic experience. We prioritize safety, legality, and responsible use in all discussions about mushies.
Amen.
Welcome back to Real Talk Sundays, the podcast where Russian roulette means, I don't know, Google it. A place where we provide a safe space to talk to people from all walks of life about pretty much anything. I'm your host, Amanda, and this is my co-host with the most,
Val.
And this is Real Talk Sundays.
People can't handle real talk no matter what day it is.
Of course, we have to do the I hate to call it housekeeping because we don't keep house, but make sure you follow us, you guys. We're trying to do something with our lives, but follow us on Instagram, TikTok, go to our website.
YouTube.
And of course, now, because we're partnered with SB Studios, we're going to be on every platform that you get your podcasts on, both visually and auditorially. So listen in, watch us, and share with your mom.
Because I think she'd really like this podcast.
Honestly, the older women, and I'm not saying they do like it.
They really do.
You know, I think it lets them live a little bit.
Kind of. Put your hair down, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to kick, there's no time to waste, honestly. Yeah. We have to use every minute wisely here. We're going to kick off this episode with a few things, and we actually have a very special guest.
Oh my gosh.
Because I haven't said it in a long time. We have a very special guest with us who I will introduce very, very shortly. But we're talking about psilocybin mushrooms.
Boomer, shroomers,
shroom, zoomers, psychedelic fungi, tea party, tweezers, caps, mushies, purple passion, cubes, God or God's flesh, which I thought was an interesting one.
God's
Simple Simon,
flesh.
Silly putty, sacred mushroom, lil smoke, pizza toppings, what's another? Blue meanies, hongos, this little, what do you call it? It's a tattoo I have, a little spiral. Of course, your little mushroom emoji that we use. Big fan of that. Mexican mushrooms, musk, and of course, sacred medicine. All street names for the good old-fashioned psilocybin mushrooms. And we will be doing that with the help of our guest. Care to introduce our guest?
Krishna
Riggs. She is with us today. We'll give you a proper introduction, but welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I love you so much.
I love you.
I'm so excited to talk about
this. They're so in love.
We really are. We're like obsessed with each other. It's a problem. I'm not trying to solve it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to be covering basically everything start to finish. We're going to try and fit it all in an episode. If we need a part two, oh darn.
Yeah,
we'll bring it back. Or even a spiritual element of this as well. But we're going to be talking a lot of science, a lot of facts, talking about the feels and a little giggles and the funnies. And then, of course, stay tuned to the end of our episode where we talk about this week's artist and song, who's actually going to be right on par. I'm not even going to give you the spoiler, but right on par with this theme. So hope you guys enjoy. But without further ado, let's dive in. Mrs. Krishna Riggs, owner and founder of Sagewise Co. and Shroomwise, life coach, healer, guide for all of those interested in, sacred mushroom journeys or sacred medicine journeys. And of course, one of my best friends. So please, yeah, give yourself also a little introduction as well. How can people find you? And we'll talk a little bit more, you know, when we wrap up, how they can really find you and book with you. But tell us a little bit more about you.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you so much. So happy to be here.
I love you.
I love you.
Big fan. I'm a big fan of yours. Okay.
Killing me. Okay. Actually, you're bringing me to life. I'm trying to change that thing that we say, right?
In the words of your husband, words are powerful.
Words are so powerful. And that actually started in a mushroom journey. So anyway, thank you very much. I work a lot just human to human, but I'm getting better at my online presence. So that's going to be on Instagram, Sagewise Co. And then also I have another Instagram account, which is Shroomwise. and
TM.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And then sagewiseco.com.
Yeah. And what's the difference between Sagewise and Shroomwise?
So Sagewise is my company and Shroomwise is one of my offerings. So perfect. I have an online course that's coming out. Actually, Black Friday will be launching.
Ooh.
No.
I was like, unfortunately, I think this episode will air after that, but still, still go check it out.
It'll be available.
Yeah, it'll be available. Mm-hmm, so still go check it out. And what is your course specifically about?
So that's for anyone who hasn't journeyed with mushrooms in a spiritual sense, like a sacred practice, or anyone who hasn't done it, period, and is interested in getting to develop a relationship and a practice with mushrooms. I help guide them in different wise ways to do that.
And what does Sagewise Co., what does that bring to the table for you?
Oh my gosh. Sagewise Co. is all of my other offerings. So life coaching, healing. I'm an energetic healer. I do sound healing, moon circles, life coaching, all of the things. So,
yes.
And my biggest offering, my biggest focus is the healing retreats, immersive healing retreats.
Mm-hmm. Here, here, which we may have to do an entire part two on that. Cause I mean,
yeah, I was going to say too, the life coaching could be part of the part two because I don't know, that's what kind of sticks out to me.
You're a wealth of knowledge, honestly, and I love to just bathe in it. But when it comes to specifically sacred medicine, all right, when we're specific, we're diving in specifically this, what lights you up about that? What truly brings you to life in the practice of using those?
Well, we would have to start with how I even got into them in the first place.
Yeah.
Like I was an entrepreneur and I was looking to grow my coaching business. And one of my, like a mentor that I had hired, so a different coach, a business coach, she was like, if you want to scale your business and grow, you need to try psychedelics. And no one could make me do them, by the way. I have always been such a safe person, like never experimented with any kind of anything really. And after about a year of researching and whatnot, then I made an educated decision that I was going to go ahead and do that. And I will say that my first experience was nothing that I expected, but everything that I wanted and needed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it just went on from there. So then I was using kind of casually different psilocybin experiences. And then there was one super profound mystical experience that completely changed the trajectory of my business and my life. And what I love about mushrooms is just that, like, they can absolutely change your entire life for the better. And I just, I'm obsessed.
Yes.
So when was that that mentor said, you need to try psychedelics or whatever?
Try a little bit.
What, like, when was that?
That I think was about 2.5 years ago. So
That's it?
Yeah.
I'm thinking you've been doing this for years, and because I don't know you that well, like you guys are besties, I don't, you know, but that's crazy. This is so new. Like, it's a new journey, essentially.
So I've been doing life coaching for the past 6 years, seven years. And then, yeah, just the psilocybin and psychedelic avenue was, yeah, just 2.5 years ago for me to have my first experience. And then only this past year have I gotten really into the spiritual change that took over my life. And now I just want to share it with people.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of aspects of your journey and, you know, as far as like even sharing what you're comfortable with. But I think one that I absolutely love is you've dedicated the last, I mean, was it half a year? I mean, it's been quite some time. For a journey a month and documenting that and really just kind of getting in tune with what they're bringing to the table and leveraging that in your business, in your knowledge, but using that as a, yeah, just an opportunity to explore yourself and the medicine itself, which holy dedication. That's, I mean, I love that. And it's one of my favorite things that you're doing.
Aww,
I just, because everyone brings, you know, and you talk about each one so differently, but they all work together. It's almost like a deck of cards. Each card's different, but when you shuffle them together, it all seems to line up, which has been really good.
I really believe that mushrooms, you will only get what you're prepared for, like what you're ready for, what your soul is ready to evolve at that point in time. And so it is like, yeah, every journey kind of builds off of itself, like off of the next one, right? So, yeah, I went on this retreat where I worked with a shaman, and she said, if this was the only reason that I went on this retreat, then that's fine, because it's completely sent me down in a whole other, yeah. you know, little avenue of my path. But it was that mushrooms is a practice. And so I really took that and ran with it. And I'm like, okay. And I just felt intuitively called that I was going to journey with them once a month, whether that be a huge like macro journey or one of the lighter side journeys. And yeah, they all are completely different. Just, yeah, it's amazing.
Do you do it alone? Sorry, let me reverse. You do it alone or like your husband? Like, how does that work monthly?
So it depends. I kind of, I'm such an intuitive person. And so I just really listen to whatever the medicine is really calling for at that point. So sometimes it will be with somebody, like if I'm particularly connecting with someone and like almost like a mentor, like life coaching guide type of role, well, then I'll invite them to come with me and we'll go to an area where it's decriminalized or legal and go ahead and take the journey. But sometimes, yeah, I do it by myself. I love actually those journeys. I feel like I get the most healing that way, but I also am fine with showing up to support somebody else in their healing journey. So not all of my journeys are specifically just for me. Like I'm such a person that's here to help heal the collective. And so if anybody I can help, then yeah, I'll invite them on my journey and just like use the journey to really help them get to the bottom of their deal that they're going through.
Because we've had one, we've had several journeys together, but one in particular too, where I was like, I really need this. giving me space. You're just providing that space and sitting with me in these feels. And it's always just every single one with you. It's just so great. But of course, you know, as we move through this episode and journey through this episode together, I definitely want to give an opportunity much to, you know, in addition to our own disclaimer for our podcast, your disclaimer for what you do and the information we're about to talk about.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, let me pull it up. My disclaimer is any information on psilocybin is intended for general information purposes only. Sagewise Company does not advocate for illegal activities, and experimenting where not criminally illegal or even legal is advised. We do believe in the right for individuals to have access to information and ideas. Any application of the information in this discussion is at the listener's discretion and your sole, S-O-U-L, responsibility.
Love it.
Yes.
So we're going to transition into next segment.
We're going to saddle the vibe and take it for a ride. Let's go.
Into the science of things. So people are interested in mushies, I'm calling them, and for many reasons. And it's also, they have questions, and we have the facts and the science. So good for us. But what the fact?
These are my favorite. What the fact?
Magic mushrooms come in over 100 species and varieties. And then this one got me when I saw this, that mushrooms share more DNA with humans than plants. What the fact?
Yeah.
How is that
possible? It's a fun possible? Guy. Yes.
I'm literally just curious. Intelligent
They're
beings.
So intelligent. And we could go. That's
and
like
you eat
other...
them. That's not right.
But it is right. That's the thing.
Those polar little mushies, so they were just living their life. They're just fucking hopping around the grass. And you were like, no.
So yummy.
And then they can improve sexual function for up to 6 months. Well, we should give that to somebody's ex. That might have helped them.
I'm telling you right now, truth.
<It's> truth. Okay.
But yes, those were the one fun fuck facts. What the facts?
Yeah, and then they're being used for mental health and the psychedelic therapy. So that's definitely a real thing.
And this is where I want to spend a bulk of our time, because holy studies. And I love that in today's day and age, you know, we're having a real talk about mental health in general, but mental health with mushrooms and the neurological effects that are coming with that. So in my findings and, you know, during my research, there's just so many great things that are coming to light, and it's so great. And we're going to talk a little bit too about, you know, the do's and don'ts. But when it comes to the neurological effects, I want to talk specifically about how this works, because a lot of questions I had were more of an analytical, but how does it work? What's the application like, right? What's the science? And psilocybin is the active compound in magic mushrooms, essentially. And psilocybin disrupts the default mode network, or DMN. And that's a brain network that is involved in self-respect or self-reflection and introspection. So that's one that you're going to come upon when you're researching this stuff, is DMN. In addition, psilocin, which is what your body converts psilocybin to. So psilocin is actually what binds to the serotonin receptors and sort of activates them. So this is what actually causes the change and the psychoactive effects that people trip about and talk about, right? It's really the psilocin that's doing the work. And if you want more explanation on how it actually works and behind it, check out Pharmacy Times interview with Jennifer Chesak, C-H-E-S-A-K. It was it was about an hour long. It was fantastic. She was very, and I'll reference her actually later in this interview, but psilocybin primarily acts on the serotonin receptors in the brain, particularly the 5-HT2A receptor, which is another thing that you're going to run into. This interaction leads to changes in brain activity and actual consciousness. So those are the effects, the things, the actual chemicals that are working in your brain when you take psilocybin. And we wanted to talk a little bit more about the studies that are actively happening on psilocybin-assisted therapy. And if any of you are interested in this, all of the things that I will be talking about today, all of the facts and stats that we quote, that the journals we reference, they are all going to be cited in the bio. So I love a due diligence check. So if you want to check and you want to read more about this or each study separately, I highly encourage you go. Everything's in our bio, included, cited. But it's been found to be effective in reducing anxiety in patients with life-threatening conditions, particularly cancer-related anxieties, being investigated for its potential to treat conditions like PTSD, addiction, cluster headaches, and there is interest in using it for end-of-life care. So people who are trying to cope with the death of death and dying, because it's a really, really heavy, heavy topic. And it may help alleviate menopausal symptoms such as hot flashes, night sweats, and mood swings. And we've talked a lot about this. Hormonal fluctuations as well, and throughout a woman's menstrual cycle, and menopause may influence or be influenced by the effects of psilocybin. And we're going to put a pin in that for a minute because we're going to talk a little bit more about how psilocybin affects women specifically. And what I enjoyed in some of these trials was that we always, when I say we, I see women as collective, have brought to light that a lot of medical studies are done specifically on men. And so the data is skewed. And so late, especially in the like early 2000s, all men. So with these most recent studies, women finally are getting a say in how this is happening, and it affects us completely differently. But let's talk about depression specific. This is where I wanted to spend the time, is depression and kind of your experience with this, your husband's experience with this, and just overall kind of what you know, with your knowledge. But kick us off with this, what the fact.
Yeah, so depression affects an estimated 300 million people worldwide and is the leading cause of disability, like if they, you know, have that.
Globally.
And it affects their life. Postpartum depression.
Uh-huh, heavy.
That's something that, I mean, I feel like we'd do a episode on that,
bro.
But for real. And that's between 6.5% and 20% of women that give birth have depression symptoms.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That shit ain't no joke.
No, that's real. I mean, I haven't experienced it, but I know it's real. Shrooms can also significantly reduce symptoms of depression, lasting up to a year in some case. So the effects of that, but they don't know how long the changes in the brain activity will last with those mushies. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of interesting. How come they can't figure that out?
Still early, not enough research yet. Okay. Not enough time, not enough research.
Well, it's 2024. We can't do better experiments.
Yeah, dude. Well, they are. They're doing great ones, but they just started, right? Because with the legalities of everything, which we'll talk about.
Oh.
But, yeah, and you and I specifically went back and forth on depression. We've had a lot of conversations on this as well, especially people with bipolar disorder and a lot of other things. But yeah, fill us in a little bit on what you know and like how this has helped you in your life with just depression overall.
So the only time that I've ever experienced depression was actually climate related, eco anxiety, like realizing.
Which is another episode right. coming down the pipe.
Right.
For real, for real.
And actually, there's a whole like segment like of my business that will be geared towards psilocybin and helping people with eco anxiety or climate anxiety. But anyway, that's another time. But depression is, yeah, that's such a bitch, right? Like, not fun at all. And I think that depression mostly stems, I mean, community, okay? Our society today is lacking community. And I think that it is the root cause of much of the mental health aspects that people are going through today, especially anxiety and depression, because they think that, like, people who suffer with it think that they're completely alone or it's all up to them or, you know, different just beliefs that are really triggering. And so for me, when I was going through depression and anxiety via climate stuff, I mean, it ruined my life for a year. Like, I hardly got out of bed sometimes. Like, it was just really sad and lonely. And that's the biggest thing, is that I felt so alone. And the thing that made me feel better was finding people who thought and believed like I did, so that I joined, you know, some community. So with people who suffer from just average, not average, but I guess common anxiety, depression, my husband's one of them. Psilocybin is such a great way to help you create new neural pathways in your brain, because a lot of times what comes with those different diseases are obsessive thought patterns. And a lot of times it's damaging thought patterns on ourselves or our situation. And we create, I like to call it like a super highway in our brain. And so have you ever gotten on the freeway one time ready to go to an event, but you ended up at work? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's kind of like that in your brain with thoughts. Yeah. So it's like you mean to go somewhere else and you can have all of the best intentions to go somewhere else. But if you're used to going somewhere, it's just this automatic response. And so what psilocybin is so great at is it creates new neural pathways so that you can create these new healthy beliefs and thoughts that are rooted in gratitude, love, and hope.
Yeah. And it was a big one. I actually heard an interview too with it was on a different podcast, but the metaphor that he gave me has really stuck with me when it comes to those grooves, right? Those pathways. He was like, think of it as going skiing or snowboarding. And it's like thick grooves. Maybe there's a lot of pow-pow, right? So you're just like in one and you're forced to use that deep groove every time so you can get through the mountain. Well, think of mushrooms or a journey as a fresh snow, and everything's now evened up again and it's flat again. And a great picture of this scientifically is actually, check out the UCSF study linked in the description too for pictures of the brain scans that depict this perfectly, where they show a depressed brain and it encourages, you know, rigid thought patterns and that directly impact your well-being. And we're talking deep grooves, holes, you know, from an illusion of the landscape is just, yeah, it's holy and it's deep grooved. They have deep wells that make it difficult for patients to move between different thoughts and perspectives when they're suffering from depression. And psilocybin therapy flattens that brain's landscape and opens up the rigidity, essentially, of the depressed, so it allows new thoughts, more positively oriented thoughts. And post-treatment, a flatter landscape makes it easier for patients to experience healthier flexibility and diversity in their thought patterns. So they're starting, that's why it's still so new. They're starting to see after an initial psilocybin journey, how long are those effects lasting before those groove patterns are repositioned or regrooved. Mm-hmm. And when they are regrooved, they're actually different and less intense. Mm-hmm. And so just so many wonderful things that are coming. But the imagery that they used was three different brain scans really kind of help you put that metaphor to practice and kind of tie it to an image. But yeah, and that was the big one too, is like in the first time ever, they're finding that psilocybin works differently from conventional antidepressants. And these are for a lot of people too, that are medicine resistant depression, to where they've tried everything. It's not fucking working. And it's making the brain more flexible and fluid and less entrenched in the negative thinking patterns associated with depression. And so there was just a lot of promises shown that, reducing the symptoms of depression after one or two doses with very few side effects. And in addition to all this, there is no current evidence that this substance is addictive. Mm-hmm. So it's like, holy, or can cause addiction. Holy shit. And so the medical community is stoked but cautious, right? And according to that new study of scientists, at the UC of San Francisco and the Imperial College in London, psilocybin fosters greater connections between different regions of the brain, specifically in depressed people. So freeing them from these long-held patterns of rumination and excessive self-focus is honestly unheard of with any sort of medication that's out there today, or placebo, any sort of meditation or naturopathic approach to depression. And they can't say enough good things about it. But more research needs to be backed so that way it's a little bit more accepted in the medical community. But I truly do think that a lot of doctors are going to start leaning this way.
Wow.
I hope.
I have opinions on this.
Yes, share.
Well, I'm going to start sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but there's merit to what I'm saying. Just hear me out.
It's your opinion.
Hear me out.
Go with it.
Hear me out.
Hear me out. The thing with psilocybin and depression is it's not a lifelong thing. Mm-mm. Whereas pharmaceuticals are a lifelong thing,
it's
right?
It's all about money.
Where's the profit?
Exactly. So you don't profit off of healthy people. So there's a book by Simon Uglar. It's called Psychedelics in the Soul. And he says something to the effect of, your government hasn't made psilocybin mushrooms illegal because they love and care about you and they're afraid that you're going to jump off a bridge with them. Mm. They've made it illegal because it expands your thoughts. It makes you not conform to different societal norms, and you think for yourself. And so there's a lot at risk with
totally
having a huge population with their wokeness. Own thoughts, yeah. Right?
I'm with you on that, girl. I totally believe all of that.
It's a buzzword too when people say woke, right? It's like, ooh, go, 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 go. But we're going to talk a lot about this in a few segments here it's basically the pros and cons to opening the box, to opening Pandora. As far as the effects, and then we'll move on to our next segment because it's really, really great. But we want to talk about women. Because we're important, arguably the most important on this planet. Arguably.
We still think men are okay.
I mean, they're
so
great.
Everyone knows. So that's a disclaimer. We got it. Men are okay, but it's like, yeah.
I mean, so ask the token question, truly.
Does this affect women differently? Yes.
The short answer. But talk to us a little bit more about menopause and what you've seen and how it's working with older women who are premenopausal or menopausal.
Well, apparently the largest population demographic is that with anxiety and depression are menopausal women.
Yeah.
And so, think about the women that are going into menopause today. What was their life like when they were growing up?
Girl.
Right? And so, and now here, women have a lot more say in the way that their lives are. Mm-hmm. Like, we're starting to. And so it's like these women that are of that age are at a point where they have anxiety and depression and their bodies are changing. They're not sure who they are anymore. And are they even sure who they ever were? Did they ever have the freedom to explore themselves?
Yeah. And it's like existential crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I have time to self-explore, explore myself. Who the fuck is she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
And so they're seeing that studies are showing that there's a lot of menopausal women that are at the forefront of wanting to experience psychedelic healing.
Yeah. And this is a big one too, because I really I went in on this Jennifer Chesick interview, right? But she's also an author and she speaks specifically to how psilocybin affects women. And I'm just going to read this because I don't want to fudge it up. But one, we need more research on this because there is something to say here, but we need more research on the trajectory of the menstrual cycle and when in the cycle to use psilocybin. But we know that estrogen can affect binding at the serotonin receptor sites. So that we do know. It seems like we know where we are all at in our cycles and the levels of estrogen in our body in terms of where we fall in that cycle. And so if we're wanting, and this can matter too, if we're wanting to go on a deeper journey, right? If we're really wanting to get to it, or a matter of microdosing and how that will affect you throughout your phases. But research at Johns Hopkins University did a case study on three women who used psychedelics, and two of the women used psilocybin. Based on these case studies, it may cause the menstrual cycle to come a little early. Mm-hmm. So if you did the journey about midway through your cycle, expect it to come a little early that month. And what they also found was that it seemed to regulate menstrual cycles after a period of irregularity, which I found fascinating. So two of the women in the study, one had premenstrual dysphoric disorder and the other had polycystic ovarian syndrome. And
PCOS,
and had some time where their periods had become irregular. In one case, the woman's period had completely stopped, but after taking psilocybin, it had resumed. It came back. And we need more research on this because we all have right now are these case studies and anecdotal reports, but it doesn't seem like there's some type of effect on the menstrual cycle and the mechanisms of action that make sense from a scientific perspective. But she tried to break it down, and how I understood it was, you know, our menstrual cycles occur along the hypothalamic pituitary gonadal, or the HPG, axis. So there's one hormone that kicks off, and it tells another hormone what to do, and it has this feedback loop, essentially, and that's the trajectory of our menstrual cycles. And then we also have the axis that manages our stress response, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal, so the HPA axis, right? So they kind of run like this, perpendicular. We already know from research outside of psychedelics that these two axes do impact each other. Our stress response can impact our cycle. We know that. Mm-hmm. And our cycles can impact our stress response. So it's not a stretch to think that when we're using psilocybin that something is going on with our stress response and that impacts our menstrual cycle. So that's what they're basically saying, like, well, the shoe fits. But where we're at in our cycle matters to the type of trip that we have or where we're journeying if we want to take a deeper dose. And it seems like it really matters where we're at in our estrogen levels. But she goes on to mention that she thinks it's really important that as we talk about science, that we bring indigenous wisdom into this, because a lot of times that gets lost in a lot of the science and facts and stats, because psilocybin has been a sacred substance that has been used for millennia across cultures, you know, specifically within, you know, Mexican and Central America. But we're talking thousands of years of just really great education and hundreds of applicable years from our indigenous, you know, ancestors. And so really sitting with them, and they've been doing things over and over and over again to produce the same results. So we need to listen. And the indigenous wisdom expert that she references here, Mijail de la Maico, noted that if you're thinking about journeying, that might be better done in your ovulation period, as opposed to closer getting to your actual period. So kind of before you enter your luteal phase of your cycle, which if you haven't, go check out our period episode because it was a doozy. And we need a part two and menopause. But again, we need more research on this, but it's good advice from a scientific but also an indigenous practice perspective. But the reason that we would, the reason for that would be that as we get closer to our periods, our bodies do become a little more insulin resistant in the luteal phase. And a lot of people do some type of fasting, which I've noticed, because usually we like to go eat and we like mm-hmm. to do the things, and we'll talk about best practices here in a minute. But a lot of people do some type of fasting right before a journey. But fasting during your luteal phase can be very difficult because you're insulin resistant, and that naturally happens in your luteal phase. So these are things to consider. And I just love that they're really shining the light on how this works with our bodies. This is not something that a question would ever come up. And we've talked a little bit about this, and we've always had the, I wonder if, or I wonder why it's affecting other women differently than you and I. Wonder if it's more of a personality thing or where they're at in their life.
Or spiritual.
Spiritually, like emotional. Where they're at. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But like, how do you receive that? Like all that information, facts, stats, and indigenous, you know, aside, how do you receive this information?
I think that is super interesting. The first thing that I'm thinking is back to my comment earlier about how I believe that mushrooms give you exactly what you need, right? So that's more of a spiritual, emotional approach. And now I'm thinking back on my experiences. My most significant, like, life pivoting mystical experiences have actually been while I'm on my period.
Interesting.
So yeah, that is interesting. So
I honestly haven't even paid it any note or any mind.
That's what I was going to ask, is what is your guys' experiences? And you've done it multiple times. Like,
I honestly haven't even tracked it. And it's something moving forward. I abso-fucking-lutely will.
Well, you need my shroom journal.
Yeah. Now available on shroomwise.com. No, shroomwise.com. Yes, actually I do. And that's a big one. And that's something I never even considered. And it was something too, non sequitur. And we'll go right into this next segment, because fuck this next segment. You were the first one to ask me to set intention before I took mushrooms. Prior to this experience, and prior to really going down this with this journey in my life and in each mushroom journey with Krishna, I just fried fucking balls. Like, that was my goal, was to take as much shroom as
I'm going to get fucking fried.
I'm going to get fucked up, dude. I'm trying 6-8 hours, right? And that was the shtick. That was the fun. And there was a lot of just feel good. And my personality, just overall, I'm a glass half full. We're very same in that aspect. Like, I love life. I've always loved life. And so it exacerbated that. And everything was so great and glorious. And I never really had a bad trip. I had a bad trip on acid one time. Like, oh boy. Talk about eco-anxiety. But you were the first one to be like, well, honey, let's set an intention for this. And I was like, what the fuck you mean? Intention? And holy cow, did that completely reframe how I'm using it. And it no longer took, it took like the, yeah, just this willy-nilly, almost, yeah, backhanded street drug, and turned it into something where it's sacred. It's going to be a part of, it's a practice now that I want to get good at and leverage it. Rather than just, yeah, see how fucked up I can get on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Holy moly. I wish that for everyone who listens here.
Me too.
And yeah, and we'll dive in a little bit more on why people don't. But first, we got to take a little break from the science.
Yeah.
And talk about the silly. And honestly, oh boy, this segment is called Life's a Trip. Because it really is. And these are the stories that I found on the World Wide Web about people who had either silly or really bad trips. And we're going to take some of the reason out of why people have bad trips right after that, right?
Okay, good.
But I'm going to take the first one, then you take the second one. But this first one, this isn't a story, but it's just something that a lot of people associate with. Fear and loathing in Las Vegas, okay? That is not how it is. That's not how it works. Now, don't get me wrong. Each journey is different. Each person is different. Everything is different. The type of shroom you're taking, you know, basically. But it's just not an accurate depiction. And I wanted to plug this artist. If you want a more accurate depiction, though, not all of his videos are true and correct. But Pedro Leau MVFX on TikTok. So PedroLeau MVFX on TikTok is a closer example, and he's a great artist that has taken his videography and amplified it with mushroom effect imagery. Okay, so it's that.
Oh, okay.
Right? Don't get me wrong, some of them are a little out there. I've never experienced some of the shit that he's depicting, but there are some where, like, when he's looking at the trees, and the trees almost feel like they're breathing a little bit. There's more life in it. The textures, the sound. So I highly encourage you, go check that out. But ditch the fear and loathing in Las Vegas mindset on towards, you know, what you're going to do if you drop shroom. So that's my PSA. But go on to this first story, you guys. Oh, my God.
Help us. The airplane.
We've all heard this one.
Airplane trip, an off-duty Alaska airline after taking mushrooms 48 hours prior to this.
He's a pilot.
Pilot.
Yeah.
He tried to shut down the plane engines, and he was sentenced and charged for 80 counts. Are we saying his name?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Bro, it's on the internet.
Joseph Emerson.
Yeah.
80 counts of attempted murder.
Wow.
And coming off of a party binger with his friends, sleep deprived.
Yeah. Bro, I have never. And mind you, the rest of these are all men. Just going to say that. I'm just going to say that. Not that it matters. What the fuck,
in
dude?
In 2 days, 48 hours prior, you did shrooms? Cool.
After, no, like, you coming off a binger with your friends. That's, you pop shroom 2 days ago. You're not sleeping. You're fucking whacked out of your mind. And one, the idea of getting on a plane a day or two after, sounds daunting. A quiet, like, just that confined space. But I'm a girl. We've done a lot about this. I need to go out and walk. Like, I need to be with nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that honestly sounds terrible. But yeah, here's another one. Here's another one. And I also want to say that all these stories, these guys.
Yeah.
They don't read ahead now. These people took ungodly amounts, unsafe amounts of mushroom. And we'll talk about the dosage and what that looks like. And I'll get your, you know, I definitely want your expertise and your input on this because you are dialed in on that. Unsafe amount of mushrooms to lead to these reactions. And again, they're men, so that goes without saying. But this guy, this next one, 37-year-old, okay, guy, back in September of 2024. Oh, wait, that was a hop, skip, and a jump ago. That was like a month ago.
2 months ago.
2 months ago in Austria, okay, took 4 ounces of mushrooms and set about his manhood with a blunt axe. He cut off 5 centimeters of his penis with a blunt axe. And this was the very first example of psilocybin-induced penile amputation. I will tell you, they successfully reapplied it. He still have his peen-peen, okay? He can still use it. But you idiot. Oh, my God.
What was his dick talking to him and breathing?
Bro,
and he was
honestly,
like, don't
what?
Do that.
Never have I ever.
My question is, what else was he on?
Where what are else? You at in your life?
Because bro. 4 grams, that is, I mean, honestly, like, oh, ounces.
Baby girl.
Oh, shoot.
Not grand.
Okay.
Ounces.
Okay.
That's his own fault. They should have let his dick be off.
As a lesson, we've all decided on this medical staff, we're going to let the 5 centimeters go because, baby, you ain't using it right anyways. Like,
so I guess technically there's no reason to be concerned about overdosing, mm-hmm. as far as like fatality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You would have to eat
it's
your own
self-harm.
Body weight yeah. in mushrooms to
really,
yeah, that's what they think. But who can eat that much? Your stomach cannot hold that much, right?
It's after 4 ounces,
I know, but 4 ounces, that's
we're cutting
I mean,
dicks
why?
Off.
Why would you do that? Why? Setting intention, okay?
Set intention. Also, but fuck, be safe about this. Oh, take the next one,
man.
Bro. This is my favorite. I love
Nick
this guy.
Kroll wanted to become one of the sea, so he covered himself in kelp, and the next day he was covered in red welts.
Nick Kroll, do you know who Nick Kroll is?
No.
He does a lot of voices for like Big Mouth, and he's a comedian. He's fucking hilarious. Does a lot of voice acting. Big fan of him. But yeah, he was just frying balls and wanted to be one with the sea. So therefore, he covered himself in kelp, which, okay.
I mean, yeah.
I can see that.
Part of
that's
me is like,
not,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, we need to have a little bit of like reverence for our safety while
who
we're.
Who's your sitter? Who are you with?
Who yeah, are you? Where
exactly.
was your surroundings? He just like covers himself in kelp and like floats into the sea.
You,
like,
yeah, bro, honestly. Created a new voice off of it, probably. Uh-huh. So this is the one, and then we'll talk a little bit about our journeys. But in 2021, a 30-year-old guy in California took a massive dose of mushrooms, hoping to relieve symptoms of opioid dependence. Okay,
that's
so
a
we
good
are,
idea, though.
Let's set the table
good
here.
Idea starting.
Okay. Boiled down the shrooms. He was dick deep in his journey. He boiled down the shrooms into a mushroom tea, filtered it, and then injected it into his veins. The following days, this guy did not go to the hospital. His family found him, and he was acting strange and was barfing diarrhea. His skin was turning yellow, but they're the one who took him to the ER days later. He was so disoriented, and he was in early signs of organ failure, right? He couldn't even have a proper interview with the doctors. He was so out of it. His blood tested positive for bacterial infection with the microbe Brevibacillus and a fungal infection from Psilocybe cubanus, meaning the magic mushroom tea he injected was growing mushrooms in his bloodstream.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Massive drugs. Okay. He was on a ventilator and it took 22 days. He was discharged with a full recovery. So thank God for modern day medicine. You idiot.
Yeah. He's so lucky.
You're so fucking lucky, you moron. Like,
the mushrooms grew inside of him.
In his bloodstream.
Once again,
like,
why?
Why? Por qué? Why?
They are meant to be eaten.
You stupid
not
man.
Injected. Do not inject yourself with mushrooms.
Do not.
Oh my God.
Inject yourself with mushrooms. Oh my God.
No.
But with that, I love that segment because shrooms are a trip, man. And we love them. Some of our journeys, and that's the thing too, when we discuss our journeys and the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And we'll definitely go into like the great shroom journey, which a lot of people are hopping on the choo-choo shroom train. And I love that.
Me too.
And like we'll talk a little bit more about the people. So if you want to do mushrooms, what we're going to do. But like when it comes to our journeys and where we're at with that, like we've really enjoyed a different, like different types of journeys together. But like for you, like what has been one of your favorite journeys that you've gone on?
You know which one.
The journey.
The journey. Like it is the journey. It was last year in October. We went on a vacation together and journeyed. It was a girls' trip. And Val, you've heard about this journey. You said she came back completely changed.
Yes, she did.
I did too. It was journey. It was insane. Like I was allowed access in some way, like myself allowed myself access to intricacies of the universe. That's like the easiest way I can even describe it. It was just this sense of oneness, connectedness. I could just anything that I needed to know, wanted to know, desired to know, I could find the answer. Like I had all of the information, access to it. It was incredible. So that's the journey.
It was fucking great, dude. And I was like a few days post-lipo. That's the crazy part too, is like struggling with my momhood, struggling with my body image. And I will tell you that trip single-handedly damn near cured all, and I have a TikTok about it, damn near cured all of my body dysmorphia. Don't get me wrong, I still have bouts of it, and I'm reminded every time I journey again to like the love and appreciation I have towards my vessel and my body, how strong I am and the gratitude I need to share to it every day, and reprogramming my brain to speak nice to this body. I get one of them, bitch, be nice. But I had just gone from lipo, and I was literally, I was seeping out my ports that they had sucked fat out of. And you were like, do you want to go on this trip? And I was like, yes. Okay. And I'm in so much pain. I'm changing my bandages. I'm frying balls. And I look at myself in the mirror and I just had this epiphany, like, oh gosh. And this moment of mourning for, oh, my ego, letting my ego steer my body. And that this is what everybody else wanted and what I thought I wanted. And truly having time to look at myself and appreciate how beautiful, for God's sakes, I birthed two babies. I portaled in two human beings into this world. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. And that to me was crazy. And then I had a long shower with myself. And every time it brings it back. But there was a lot of experience in that journey too. When I was out in the clearing, I like went for a walk. I have to be in nature when I'm tripping. And there were so many different segments of that journey you and I were in alignment with. And we just both were on the same page in two completely separate rooms. Like, and there's one where you were like outside in the car and I was like inside in the shower. And I was like, I had an idea. You're like, I had the same idea. Like, this concept is crazy. And it was just so beautiful and so great. And I will say this before we move on to this next segment. It has, and that trip started the healing journey in addition to my therapy and the work and the groundwork that I had already been laying about me not, about my motherhood, about the resentment I had towards my kids' dad and my children. I never really wanted to be a mom. It wasn't part of my plan. It's not something that I'm, you know, that at the time I thought I was good at. I hated it, to be very frank. And with our listeners, I know there's a lot of other moms out there who are trapped, but you're doing what you got to do because it's just, it's the bed you made. You got to lie in it. And I was struggling with that for years, Krishna, for years. And when we took that, it was the window that I needed to open to start going into basically the doorway of like releasing the resentment, which then led me to your retreat, which I can't recommend a retreat enough with you, honestly. Life-changing. Come back being a better mom, a better me. And just understanding. And so every time I rejourney, it's a reiteration of that. It's always a dose of that in my journey as well. Let us remember, be kind to ourselves. Our children are here. We have purpose with them. And then my goal for that journey was to find my purpose.
Yep.
And we were like, we serve all the purposes every day, all the time. Like, it was beautiful. So I just, yeah, that trip was also life-changing for me. I loved it. And I just can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. I love you.
I love you.
And thank you. And I hope, yeah, more people get to experience that with you. Because it makes life worth living in this human, you know, this human vacation we're experiencing. So big, big fucking deal. But moving along, because I know we're getting on time.
We're going to move to the top questions about mushies. And Christina's going to lead us
Let's
into
do
that.
It.
So take it away, Christina.
So I want to do mushrooms. Val, have you done mushrooms?
No.
She's never done mushrooms. So she's going to represent a bulk of our listeners who have never done mushies, right? And we're going to talk about the psychedelic therapy and therapeutic potential, but the top questions people have if they wanted to do them. So the biggest one is like, why would I do them? And it's the spiritual and, you know, personal growth. So like what you've experienced.
Well, I mean, why would you do them? Like, first of all, I don't think that anyone can convince you to do them. Either you want to do them, you're curious about them, and you go discover it on your own. Like, you really need to feel called to mushrooms. Like, don't let anyone force you. Don't believe in that at all. So even on, like, my retreats where we may or may not do psilocybin journeys, like, you say you're going with your mom or something and your mom is not interested, but you are. Well, it's like, I would never encourage you to, like, pressure your mom into doing it or anything like that. So that's the first thing is you feel called.
Well
so
said.
Why would you? Because you feel called. So it would either be to alleviate pain and suffering that you're going through, experiencing often in your life, or you want that spiritual expansion or that personal growth, and all of those things are possible with psilocybin mushrooms.
There was a lot too of like, you know, yes, you get elements of the mystical experiences that people have talked about, but the connection to nature is a big one for us. We hug a lot of trees, literally, when we're whether or not we're actually on a journey.
And there's like a whole science to that. They have, you know, like they have, I think it's negative ions and we're positively charged. And so they can even out our charge. And so it's really important to do that. But
you want to heal? Go ground. Go hug a tree.
Yes.
Bless.
You can do that without mushrooms. But on mushrooms, it's a whole other experience. You really connect to the living being and consciousness of nature.
Yeah. And there's a lot of social elements to this as well, especially when you're doing it in a group setting. And the connection and community is a big one. I would say people who are tapped into this type of lifestyle are really a different breed of individuals. I've experienced that personally. And I'm really liking the community I'm finding and just how, quite frankly, non-judgmental they are.
Yeah.
Both if you partake and if you don't, which I'm really about.
Well, my husband's favorite quote is, I think it's, I don't know, one of the greats, like Aristotle or something like that, says that the smartest man knows that he knows nothing at all, right? And so I think that that's the epitome of mushrooms. Like, you connect to so much more outside yourself. And then when you come back and you're grounded into your current reality, you're just like, wow, there's so much out there I have no idea about.
Yeah.
Like, and just being curious.
Be a continual student. Yeah. Of yourself too.
Yeah. And so therefore, why would you hold judgment against anybody? Because you have no idea.
You have no fucking clue. And that, honestly, years of therapy for them to really take away, be curious about yourself. Mm-hmm. Not so self-deprecating, not so like, why would I do that? More of, huh, I wonder why I did that.
Exactly.
So for people that don't know, you know, I know stuff about mushies because of Amanda, right? And hearing her stories and all of that. But some people don't know, like, how long does it last? I mean, I know it's a long time, but what's like the average?
So there's a couple of different questions, like answers to this.
Okay.
So if you're using them in a more casual setting, right, like social, not spiritual, I find that they last anywhere from 4 to 6 hours. If you're in a spiritual experience, they can last 10 to 12 hours. Like it really lengthens the experience. And honestly, the best part is at the end, you don't even want to fall asleep because you're just like, I'm so tapped in. I'm understanding all of this. I'm uncovering all of this, like these thoughts or these emotions that have been weighing me down, and I'm really experimenting and exploring them. And then you just understand them and you have such compassion for yourself in a way that you've never had before. And so that's like, that's where all the good is. So you really don't even want to go to sleep. So you prolong it as long as possible, in my experience.
And indicative on the dose too. Talk a little bit about dosage.
Dosage is another thing that I think intuition has a lot to do with, because, I mean, you hear people talking about like a hero dose, heroic dose, right?
Yeah, we're trying to see God today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are typically 5 grams of, I would say, a Cubensis type strain. And there's other strains that are stronger. And I have learned that stronger does not mean better.
Yeah.
So I prefer the Cubenza strain. I think that they're the most gentle. So typically, hero dose is 5 grams. Okay. Yeah. And that is where people most commonly report having the mystical experiences. My experience is different than that. And the people that I've journeyed with and guided in journeys have been different than that. I have never guided anyone on a 5 gram journey. Never. Every time we've been able to reach mystical experiences, and that's typically on about 2.5 to 3 grams. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
I think 3.5 was my last one, but I would love to be your first if that'd be great.
No, you don't need
to. That's the thing is prior it. Too, is like I never even took the time to measure it out. I was like, 3 stems, 4 caps, go. Like, so I honestly in the past and how much I've absorbed, I couldn't even tell you how much.
5 grams is a lot.
It's a lot. I remember one time too when like B went to, one of those concerts with Chelsea and her ex, he took an ounce.
Damn.
Bro took an ounce and he was the only one. Everybody else pooped out. Kayla pooped out. Like everyone pooped out. Could not keep up. And he was like, that was honestly the hardest I've ever tripped balls in my whole life. And there was it was at a music festival as well.
Yeah, why would they? It was just.
No,
they were
a wreck. Snacks, didn't bring water.
Yeah, she was so hungry. I remember she's like, no, we didn't eat. Like they didn't have any money. Which, those days, man.
God, to be a kid. And that's the thing is coming back to best practices.
And intention. Because it's like, why would you want to take a whole ounce of mushrooms? Why? Because you want to reach this mystical experience?
To check out. He wanted to numb and check out. That's why they all did. I'm going to be honest. They all did. But I want to go off the cuff is before we get like to the end. But like, do you feel, for again, these are people that don't hear these stories from Amanda and hear these good, amazing stories or hear about people taking an ounce and at a festival. Cool. You know what I mean? Do you feel like if you didn't do mushrooms or allegedly do mushrooms, I'm just kidding. But if you didn't do mushrooms, would you be where you are in life right now?
No way.
Where do you feel like you'd be?
I think... Oh my gosh, that's such a hard question, right?
That was good. That was deep.
Because it's like, I think that I would be indoctrinated into society, right? Yeah. Like just trying to survive doing the 9 to 5. Someone that I am obsessed with and am in love with, like is dear to me, just called me and told me a couple weeks ago that he was thinking about going to a doctor and getting on ADHD medication because he hated his job. And I'm like, you hate your job, so you're going to go get on pharmaceuticals so that you can just stay like indoctrinated into this matrix? Are you kidding? No, like your soul is telling you that you need something else. You need expansion and growth and you want something different. So embrace that. And so I think that, I mean, if I wasn't on this journey, first of all, if I had never done mushrooms, I wouldn't be helping people in that situation. Maybe I would be the one that would be going and getting ADHD medication so that I could go to work. You know, but
for
no.
Real. And doing a job that you didn't want to do.
Exactly.
That was a huge one. You were doing things for other people.
Yeah.
And it was really affecting you mentally and your physical health as well. But like it was truly your calling to do what you're doing now. And you weren't doing that, but you weren't close to you were in the vicinity. But it really put a bright light on, no, this is one of your main purposes you need
to serve.
There
we go. She just answered it for you. I was in the vicinity, but I didn't know. And mushrooms really helped illuminate what my soul's desire was.
It was real.
That's cool.
It was really interesting. And like people who do, you know, for the best practices, like the set and the setting too was a big one. Your mindset and your environment. And I think a lot of people will mention like a safe and supportive setting, getting a sitter or a guide to help you as well in your first one so that your dosage is, you're not cutting your dick off. You know what I'm saying? We're doing best practices, but it's crucial, especially for those who may be a little bit more sensitive to emotional experiences and having somebody remind them. We talk a little bit about nausea and how that's just a byproduct of it in the beginning. And some people do vomit and they can then continue their journey. Others,
I didn't know that.
You get nauseous.
Not every time.
Not everybody.
And there's ways that you can make it a little easier on you.
Interesting.
She's definitely had some tips and tricks.
But I really prefer to stair step my doses. So I'll typically start out with either 0.5 gram or 1 gram. And then it's like every half hour or 45 minutes, just whenever I feel intuitively called, I'll like dose again until I reach the desired dose. And typically that's like anywhere between 2 and 3 grams for me is like my average. But
Yeah, because everyone's different. Yeah. Like your bodies, your body weight,
I'll pop 3.5 grams in a half hour and I'll breathe through it. Like I'll breathe through the nausea, right? Mm-hmm. But like another thing too is using citrus to help amplify that journey as well.
Or cacao.
Yeah. Ooh, cacao, that's right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, staying hydrated, having a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Stay hydrated, people. But yeah, having a good soundtrack. And then again, your discretion if you want to fast or not. You know, prior to, because, you may or may not experience a lot of nausea. But the cultivation and preparation, which we'll definitely have to do a part two on, but about how they're sourced safely, growing them if people are interested in that. But that was a whole other one. But I did want to do this caveat. You need to be aware of fake mushrooms or fake mushroom chocolates, because these are coming on the market right now and they are dangerous, mostly because one, they're not FDA tested or approved or anything, although the FDA has its own qualms, but a brand specifically, Profit Premium Blends, sold out of Southern California. And what you will find, what I took, I think on my birthday, quite frankly, was recalled because dozens of people fell ill or were dying. And they contain synthetic hallucinogens and other psychoactive compounds not listed on the labels, so this is not FDA approved and it is not safe in any capacity. So if you're ordering these off of line, you're wondering like, wow, this is so convenient, I can get these chocolate mushies, bro, they ain't it. No, they're artificial. Don't do it. Don't do it. They're not controlled, they're not regulated, and they're not going to serve you. And also too, another one is don't mix shit.
Yeah,
don't mix your stimulants and of substances, alcohol, LSD, like stick to one, set intention with it is a big one. And another one too is your state of mind. Don't expect this to heal your trauma. Like you need to lay a lot of groundwork. It's going to aid in that. It's going to give you a lot of insight and enlightenment, but don't put all your eggs in dropping a shroom journey and coming out of it with your suppressed and repressed traumas. It's not going to do that for you.
There's a lot of integrative work and healing that goes into that. And that's why I call myself an integrative healer in many ways, because it is like inducing the psilocybin journey, the shroom journey. And then you have this, you're kind of like ushered to the forefront of all of these revelations and whatnot, but it's not a cure-all necessarily. Yeah. I mean, it can be, but I wouldn't depend on that. Like it does, yes, it takes a lot of self-development work prior to and after, and it's a lifelong practice.
Yeah, like, it's a part of it. It's a factor in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And this this last question too is essentially what will hold you back. So let me ask you, why haven't you done mushrooms?
Because I'm too scared. I'm paranoid. I mean, I've had bad trips on weed, to where like weed was probably laced with something. And I've never wanted to smoke weed again. This was years ago, by the way. But I didn't like how that felt at all. It was so scary for me. I was having deja vu and stuff, and it was freaking me out. So I will never try anything, I feel like. To be honest, I will never probably do anything. Yeah. And that's not, I think it's cool what you guys do. But I also, I just don't have the desire. Yeah. I don't know.
And I think that's fair. I have to be more mindful to not, you know, one, the peer pressure, because I'm like, girl, it will change. You need to do it. But it's very if it's not something you are curious about and you want to discover for yourself, don't do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's such well said and something I need to remember, because I'm such an advocate for it, and something that you embody, which is really beautiful. And the people who are interested find you, seek you out.
I'm doing moon circle though. Come on, I'm really changing. Mind but you, not shrooms. I'm not doing it.
For those listening too, and we'll end on it. And in just a minute, we have a few others, because there's other people in the same boat. But when we're talking about moon circle, but same boat. They have the same fears, or they just the fear of the unknown. But the main reasons,
the
that
fear
I
of the unknown. I don't like the unknown in general. Just like right now, this week, I feel that way, and I literally start gagging because I'm having it's the anxiety of it. But I'm willing to put alcohol into my body, and I know that's stupid, but it's because I know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to get a little buzzed and be a little bit more direct than I already am. Like,
so Val, I have a question for you then. So if it were a situation where someone was able to describe pretty much like what you might experience, I mean, every experience is quite different, but there is parameters, right? So if someone were able to describe to you what you were going to experience, you were in a very safe space where you felt super comfortable and loved and, accepted, then would it be something that like might pique your curiosity or still no?
No, I still have this fear that it's all fear based for me. I still have this fear that I'm going to come out wrong, like out of the after doing it, my brain's not going to be right. And that's a fear base. I know all like these studies are going on, but I just fear that I'm going to be the one person that I'm like mentally ill after. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? Because I've heard stories in my field of someone trying meth for one time and they never were the same again.
Acid.
And so not that I'm going to do that either, but I think that's where that stems from. And that's just my own thoughts, you know.
Yeah,
again, I don't judge anyone that does it. I'm like, I was completely stoked when she came back from her trip, and I was just like, thank God. And I don't believe praise be something, praise to the moon, because I was worried about you. Yeah. I was truly worried about her. And when she came back from that, I'm like, oh my God, this is great. Yeah. Like, you found your purpose. You've been searching for that. Like, you know, you can only say too much to your friend, like, hey, you have a purpose, I promise. Like, what does that mean? I mean, you found what that means. So that's huge.
And so many people, you're so not alone in that feeling, and why a lot of people hold back. But like, the top reasons I found was the feeling of losing oneself or going crazy, or ego disillusion was another one.
Which is funny because I think that ego disillusion is part of the healing.
The best part.
That's the best part of it. You realize that
rip,
this
baby.
Is not it. Like this is not. This is just a.
So surface.
It's just a moment.
And another one, too, was just lack of information. There were fear of legal ramifications or fear of getting in trouble. And then some individuals worry that psilocybin may exacerbate underlying mental health issues instead of fix it or trigger it. And of course, you got to get the groundwork like we talked about. Also, I'm going to link to if you're on certain meds, not to do psilocybin on. OK, one most significant interactions is definitely going to be the combination of antidepressants, particularly any sort of, you know, serotonin rebutake inhibitors or SSRIs or SNRIs. So there's a whole link on there. Check it out. Make sure if you are on meds and this is something you're curious about, you need to do your due diligence about yourself. And then, of course, too, a lot of people are talking about what if I have a bad trip and I can't come out of it. And so it's important to recognize and you have, there's a few trip killers out there, you know, tepid milk, or there's some, you know, benzodiazepines and antipsychotics are also help. And there's also this thing called Trip Stopper 3000, which is a natural blend of stuff that'll help bring you back. But so there's some trip stoppers there, some trip enhancers, and then some mood things that I'm going to do that. But for the legality, before we close out our episode here, it's important to note that while research on psilocybin is promising, it's still in its beginning stages. But more studies are needed to fully understand its effects and potential risks. Psilocybin mushrooms are illegal in most jurisdictions. Psilocybin is a Schedule I controlled substance, so same as heroin and LSD, which was issued that in the 1970s. How much have we learned from the 1970s? I'm gonna let you sit on that one for a little bit. But it means it is illegal to possess or use without a license in most states. Now, states where it is decriminalized, some cities in California, Massachusetts, Colorado, Washington, D.C., Michigan, Hawaii, and the city of Detroit. Are all places where it is decriminalized. So keep that in mind if you're wanting to journey, especially.
Did you say Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon.
Okay. Yes.
Did I say Oregon? Massachusetts. No, I did not say Oregon.
No, Oregon is all like you can do whatever you want.
Washington, yeah. Washington State, and Washington, D.C. But yeah, and so I just wanted to thank you again so much for joining us and for everybody who's
curious. We're
going to
have to do a part two.
Oh,
this
absolutely.
Wasn't enough time.
Anytime.
Girl. Yeah.
You can find Krishina at sagewiseco.com, on Instagram at sagewiseco, and Facebook at facebook.com/sagewiseco. I highly recommend if you are local in the Boise, you know, the Treasure Valley, Idaho area, to join her on her moon circles. They're twice a month. They're absolutely revolutionary.
I thought it was every Friday and I was so upset. I was like, what do you mean it's not next week? Like, I didn't understand. I was like,
yes. And I know that this will hit years after Black Friday, but especially a path to healing. For the RTS audience, for you guys are listening, is sagewiseco.com/RTS. So you'll get just basically an exclusive offer specific to what she's offering. And then, of course, ending out this episode, or actually any final words for our listeners and for what your message is.
I actually really want to share this.
Okay. It's
a quote from that book, Psychedelics and the Soul by Simon Uggler. And it says in there, psychedelics have an ability to reveal the soul itself. The Greek word psyche refers to the soul, and delos means to reveal or make manifest. So it literally translates to soul revealing.
I love that.
I love you.
I love you.
Bring another quote for part two. That was good.
Okay,
get into the song of the day.
Wrapping it out. The song and artist. I'm going to go on a 3-minute to round this out because this guy is revolutionary. We're going to focus on Psilocybin by Dylan Ponders. Mind you, that's not even his best song. It's just absolutely fitting. Dylan Ponders. Okay, I pulled this. B actually wrote this because he's like, this artist is the shit. AKA Dylan Alexander Richard King. A name synonymous with relentless creativity and musical evolution. He has solidified his position as a prominent figure in the music scene. He's from Toronto, Canada, and he's consistently pushed artistic boundaries time and time again, captivating audiences with his unique blend of rap, trap, and his experimental sound. His journey, marked by prolific output and unwavering dedication, has seen him evolve from a promising newcomer to a force to be reckoned with. This guy, do not sleep on this guy, I'm telling you right now. Albums like Dopamine and Overdose established his presence in the underground scene, and his career has really progressed. He began to experiment with different genres and production techniques, and it's really made his sound so diverse and has a very mature sound as well. And this new release, the release of The Boy Who Lived back in 2014, it really marked a significant turning point in his career, but this project showcased his versatility as an artist, and no one of his songs really sounds the same, which is great. And if I may do say so myself, he's fine.
Prove it after this. He's also married. Pop him up in the thing.
He's also married, and his wife is really beautiful. Oh. Yada yada yada.
Maybe they have an open relationship.
Maybe hit me up. This album's success propelled Ponders into a mainstream and solidified his status as a rising star. Subsequent releases, such as You're Welcome and Retox, further solidified his reputation as a boundary-breaking artist. This is the shit that got me. In recent years, his commitment to his craft is evident with his unwavering work ethic. Since 2021, Ponders has consistently released a new song every week, which is unheard of. It is a staggering number of new projects.
Well, and it's 52 times three.
Holy smokes. And demonstrating an unparalleled level of productivity and creativity. The relentless output has allowed him to experience with various styles, themes, and keeping his music fresh and engaging. This is the part that really got me, because with other artists, he also, through his music, has documented his journey of sobriety and quitting a lot of different types of alcohol and substance abuse. And a lot of times when artists get sober, their music isn't that good anymore. We've experienced that with a lot of mainstream artists as well. But his latest projects have showcased his continual growth and evolution and have really hit home with those who are listening on a profound level. But The Boy Who Died, Nowhere, they really delve into darker and more introspective themes, reflecting his personal experience and struggles. So his impact on the music industry is just starting. It honestly extends past his discography. And he's collaborated with numerous artists, both underground, emerging, and his sense of community that he is creating because he's putting out so much new music is truly inspiring. He's partnering with so many people in the musical community, creating a safe place for people to experiment with their own sounds and diversity. But do not sleep. In conclusion, Dylan Ponder's journey is a testament to the power of passion, perseverance, and artistic innovation. His relentless pursuit of excellence has propelled him to the forefront of the music industry, where he continues to captivate audiences with his groundbreaking music. As he continues to push the boundaries of creativity, Ponder's legacy, as true as musical visionary, is assured. This guy, do not sleep on him. Dylan Ponders, go listen to Psilocybin. And of course,
like, subscribe, follow us.
It's 156 songs. Sorry, I had the math.
It's a lot of fucking songs, yeah. And they're all pretty fucking good. And also to, share, follow, share this with your mom. I think she'll like it. And then send her to her retreat, you know? But thank you so much. We can't wait to have you back. We love you so much. Listen to good music. Enjoy your mushroom journeys, everybody. Peace, love, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.